Thanks for tuning in to LGR Reviews on the Let's Get Ready Network, the place for coverage of all the things you love. On this feed, we cover movies, TV, video games, and more. If you're interested in supporting the network, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/LGR_network. And please leave a rating and a review of this episode. Enjoy the show, everyone.
Hey guys, it's Justin, aka Hambone, just here to let you know a couple of things that we have going on with the channel. One, we have a Patreon. If you can and want to support us, you can do that. Little as a dollar, you can join the Discord. We also have a merch store where you can get some cool shirts, mugs, and stuff with all of our different shows and labels on there. Okay. And thank you for all of our supporters that have already been there with us. Hey, what's up, man, everybody? We're going to do this one right here like we do a lot of our last episode reviews. We're going to go ahead and do this one live just in case some other people want to jump in and make comments and stuff like that about that. Go ahead. Spoiler warning. This will be spoiler heavy. We're talking about the last episode and the season that we had with The Last of Us. And like I said, hope everybody that does join in, maybe they want to join in on the combo, and that's perfectly fine and stuff like that. We'll pull up your messages and stuff if you have something to comment on it and everything else. But with that being said, man, how's it going, Dagan?
Oh, it's going well, based on the fact that for some reason it seems like a very busy Monday with a lot of people doing after shows for the Oscars right now. So I would gather that a lot of you all would be watching on the replay. So if you're doing that, guys, makes all the better for us and everybody if you hit that subscribe button and ding that bell. We are, I think, going to hit, actually, I don't think, I know, Justin, that we can hit that 1,000 mark by the end of the year. You want to know why? Because we just passed 800 not too long ago, seemingly like a week or two ago, and we're already over 820 since then. So let's get those numbers up, man. We want to hit that 1,000 mark so we can do some even better stuff with some money. That's the idea, right?
That is the idea. And with that being said, Ferris can't join us on this one, but we're going to have we're going to be doing it while we got
the game.
We're going to have the game playing in the background as we do this and everything else. But we'll start with the overall thoughts of this episode first. And we'll start with you, Megan.
I'm actually turn the audio off on that just so we can talk while it goes. And we don't want to get any copyright stuff. But yeah, man. Overall thoughts on while Justin fixes that. Overall thoughts on the show. This episode and the season overall, really. I'm gonna go out and say that this is one of the greatest single seasons of television that I've ever seen. I mean, you and many others have talked about how it's easily the best video game to screen adaptation that we've had, right? But I would go as far as to say it's top three for me. I think top three or somewhere in the top three or top five of greatest seasons of television. At least season one of television. I put it up there with Breaking Bad and Lost and Walking Dead and Game of Thrones as really just some incredible storytelling and just a masterclass in television, I would say. But I know some people are saying, oh, it was good, I liked it, but I'm more in the camp of, man, I love this show. I think it's some of the greatest TV we've had in quite some time.
And the interesting part of that with you is you were big, huge in the Walking Dead, even to the end.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of the Walking Dead up to the third or fourth season, and then it kind of started falling off for me. I didn't really pay attention to the last
six or seven for me when it started.
Right. But I just started falling off. I'd still watch it here and there after that, but it wasn't a must see television thing like it was for me when it first started. I had to be there. For the opening, you know, of the series, watch that episode the night that it came out kind of thing and all that stuff. But I stopped doing that. But because like it does have the similarities, like, you know, this thing has the infected that are pretty much like zombies and that's got the zombies. But I guess because I was trying to get like this particular episode first, but you went ahead and did overall. So I'll do overall too. And then we'll discuss the episode, this episode, the finale. But overall, this is without a doubt, 100%. Because there's a couple of nitpicks like that even I have with the show overall. But that being said, this season of television of something of an adaption of a game was the, without a shadow of a doubt, the greatest ever adaption to screen, period. And I say screen because I'm counting TV shows, I'm counting movies or everything video game, Last of Us,
video game to screen, you're saying?
Yes. Yep, exactly. So like The Last of Us is the greatest of all time right now, like, and I really hope,
set the bar,
I really hope that, like, you know, there's been some rumors of different series based on some video games with some good stories like God of War, things like that, right? And I hope that most of the time, I don't like it when Hollywood like copies things and just puts things out there,
Hollywood, because,
just to try to follow a trend. But sometimes there are trends or something that happens that's so good that you should copy it. Not the story, right? Or not exactly even how you do the story completely, but copy the way how you adapt something. And so I hope that this gets copied. I hope that everybody that's going to do one of these video games that's got a good story, puts it in, like, you know, either TV or film version, that they do copy the way to do an adaption, because this is the way to do an adaption. Everything's not going to be exactly the same because you're coming from one medium to the other. And that's what, like, fans have to understand. Okay. But there's a thing, like, the copy, like, what they did, they didn't do anything to change the plot, to change the overall story. Matter of fact, all the changes that they did, the things that were different from the game, were things to enrich the story in some way. I wish they had a little more time, we'll get into that, like, to be able to, like, cover it a little better. But I really do think that this fell into the trap of HBO was like, all right, cool, we'll let you do The Last of Us, and we know it's got a decent fan base, but, like, you know, this isn't, like, you know, the biggest IP out there. We're gonna hold
back a little bit.
We don't, we don't know.
Go all in with it. We don't,
We don't know how great this is gonna be, how much viewership we're gonna get, like, if it's gonna bring us any subscribers to the HBO Max, like, streaming service. So with that being said, here goes this amount of money. This is how much time you got. Do what you can. And I think they were stuck into that position for this first season. And I don't know if they even knew they were going to get a chance to do like the second game or another season when they first started. So I do think that that's why they went ahead and had this first season be the entire first game, which I have no problems with, because overall they did a great job with the time they had. Right.
And like this scene is totally shot for shot in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I don't have no issues. I just wish they would have had a couple more episodes, but I think the first game being one entire season's fine, because I think they did cover all the important things, even gave us some this extra and covered everything pretty well. But that's what I think about overall. Let's talk about this particular episode, like, in a vacuum on its own.
For sure. Oh, that was my cue. Okay. Well, first off, I wanted to talk about like that is like shot for shot in the show, this whole scene here where like the ladder and everything. And I found that kind of cool, because it's like been playing this game up to this point for like over nine hours of gameplay, right? If you're really good at it, if you're not constantly getting killed over and over again, like, this video is a complete playthrough. And by this point, it's like you've pushed the button to do the boost so many times that you're just used to it. And then suddenly she's not there. She's like, you know, dwelling on kind of what had just gone down with her having to brutally murder the cannibal guy there. But it also has these little moments where they kind of like, you know, they see the giraffes and stuff. Like, I love that. This episode overall was, I think, very, very good. It was a solid finale. Probably wasn't my favorite of the episodes. Like, Bill and Frank still probably number one for me, but It was a great way. I think they covered everything that they needed to. I agree that they could have dragged it out a little bit more. I think this episode could have easily been over an hour, and I wouldn't have complained. Like, they could have had that added that scene where she's talking about the dream that she has on the plane. Like, we just saw that a little bit earlier. Like, there's no reason they couldn't have added that scene. You know what I mean? Like, it's little things like that that I think enhance the story. But again, still pretty good job with covering everything that they needed to and wrapping it up. And I do love just in general how this show doesn't focus too long on some of the more tedious aspects of the game. Like, we kind of talked about this, right? Where it's like, we don't need a 16-minute scene of her running through the woods trying to shoot the deer, you know? And that's what the show does so well in adapting the video game to the screen, is like, we'll just have one scene where she shoots the deer and then the deer runs off, right? So, like, this episode where he's running around the compound killing all the fireflies was so well done in the show. But it was, you know, like maybe a 5-minute scene as opposed to probably 35 minutes of gameplay or whatever it's going to be here. So, of him just having to go through and kill everybody. And if you're a gamer that's like horrible like me, you get killed over and over and over and over again before you finally make it through everybody. So, yeah, that's just my kind of my review of this particular episode. But what about you, Justin?
No, man, this particular episode right here, and, you know, even including like the whole season, like it ranked very high. Like, this is a 9 or 10 episode out of a bunch of 8, 9, and 10 episodes. Like, almost every episode on here, I don't think one of them I gave below an 8 score, because like I said, the show was done so well. It was acted good, it was shot well, the sets, the design, everything. A lot of it looks like it's straight from the game, like you said, which is like why I wish the people draft would just stick to some of that stuff. When it comes to adaptations, they did this almost perfectly. Yeah, like I said, there's things that like you can nitpick about and stuff like that. Like, one of the things, and to be honest with you, I understand why they did it. Like, one of the biggest complaints is going to be, oh, there wasn't enough clickers, there wasn't enough infected, you know, the world didn't seem as dangerous as it did in the game. And I get that argument to a certain point, but I understand fully why they did it that way, because like the story of The Last of Us has little to do with like the actual infected. Of course, that's a big part of the gameplay. You got to give people action thrillers type stuff to play in a game. And that's why they love the game, right? Like, that's a big thing of the game. You got to go around, survive all these infected. But the story as a whole, like the whole story put together, like, you could have gave any other kind of virus, you could have gave any other kind of reason for these two to group together in an apocalyptic settings, whatever the reason why the apocalypse is going on, could have gave these guys still the same reason to get to the hospital to do what they needed to do, right? It doesn't even have to have the clickers or the infected. That just makes it more exciting, makes it more eerie, makes it more dangerous and all this stuff. But you literally could have been like, she's the only one immune to a certain damn disease or something, right? Like, the same kind of situation overall, but just a little bit different. But you still could have had the same story. The biggest thing with this game is that the story is around like these infected and clickers and zombies, whatever you want to call them, right? Doesn't have to have them. Unlike something like The Walking Dead, where you feel the zombies are on the forefront of your mind, right, the whole time, especially the first few seasons. In a story like this, like, it's not even about them. It just gives them the reason to do what they need to do or get to where they need to get. And it gives you the reason to survive and why it's dangerous, right? And everything else. But the story as like the true story doesn't even have to have that. So I get why they laid back on that, didn't do it as much. The budget probably didn't call for it. Like I said, that they didn't know this was going to be as successful. They knew it was probably going to be semi-successful, but they didn't know it was going to be breaking like HBO Max, like viewing records and stuff like that. That kind of success. Yeah. So
we did get some cool action pieces with those zombies or whatever you want to call them, with the freaking bloater, right, and everything. Like
Rotten Tomatoes, they didn't even know it was going to be that, critics and fans. It's very rare that you get critics and fans almost totally agreeing. The critics even like it a little more than the fans so far. The fans are like at 89%. I haven't checked it today, but like the critics were like 92, 93%.
It's like the people that, like, that shit on the show are either like, you know, horribly intolerant, or they're trolls just like review bombing it. You know what I mean?
Like, no. Like, here goes the thing. I'll say this. I play the game, but I played the game a long time ago. And even though I like the game and think it's one of the best games out there, especially like in recent memory and stuff like that. Well, this game is kind of old now, but like when it first came out, this was definitely like game of the year kind of situation. This was definitely one of the best games, and one of the best games combined with a story that is out there, period. Like, could be top five, could be even higher than that, right? Could be even number one in some people's books. Like, the game is beloved by almost every person that plays the game or has ever played the game, because it's so great to play, and it's got so much story, and the story is so good. And you put all that together, and it makes this great game. And so I think a lot of people that play the game, I think a lot of people that play the game are kind of like the old school Star Wars people. They're going into this new stuff. They're going into this show. They're going into, say, like the sequel trilogy, which I agree, there's some big problems with the sequel trilogy. And it's not the only reason why people dislike it. But some of the people that played the game and love the game and think it's 10 out of 10, can't put the game a little bit to the side. They got to hold on to, like, everything's got to be exactly like the
game. I'm glad you brought that up, Justin.
And when you're like that, you're never going to enjoy an adaptation. It's like the people that read. Before we had games being made into movies, we had books being made into movies. And if you were the book nerd, you know, you had to put aside a little bit of the book. The movie's going to be different, right? The same thing with the game and the show. It's going to be a little different. And
those hardcore Game of Thrones, George R. R.
You have
Martin
to open
stands.
Up your mind.
Yeah.
You have to open up your mind that the story didn't, this story, The Last of Us story, like I said before, does not wrap around the clickers. They're there for the fun. They're there for the gameplay. They're there to give you the reason to get to this hospital at the end, like we did in the end of this episode. It gives you the reason to march forward, right? To save the humanity and everything else that makes it a game. And if you can't do that, I feel sorry for you, because I'm one of the people that love the game, but I also love the show. I love every bit of it almost. Like, there, like I said, there's small nitpicks. I would love more Infected. I would have loved more Infected too. And if they had more time, they could have did more Infected scenes and stuff like that. I felt like it gave me enough to know that it's dangerous. I mean, and I also know that there's been weeks and months that pass as they're traveling to get where they get during this whole thing. Like, we go from what was it, like fall to winter, back to spring and stuff. So it's a pretty good amount of time.
We also go from Boston to Wyoming. So that's
exactly
a long
trip.
So
there's a lot of time that's passed. There's a lot of times in there that, like, they don't have to show me on screen that there was a bunch of dangerous shit that happened to them during that time, but they were able to make it. Right.
It's like
I don't
Game
have
of Thrones.
To see
like,
every,
right. You remember when everybody was complaining about how are they getting from here to here? Because we spent like all of season one going from King's Landing to the Wall, you know, and then like in season six or whatever, they're just like, they just jump from point A to point B. And it's like, those are kind of two extremes, right? And I feel like this show puts us nice in the middle. Like, we see some of the travel, but we don't have to see all of it. Because like, how much of them running through the woods trying to find food do we really need to see? You know what I mean?
And this is one reason why I love the fact that HBO Max and a lot of the other shows don't do this binge thing. I hate the binge thing, to be honest with you. I think it's actually bad for whatever series it is.
It's like Stranger Things.
This show was talked about for 9 weeks.
Yeah, when Stranger Things drops, like, we talk about it for 3 weeks and then no more Stranger Things talk for a while.
Exactly. And this right here, we got to talk about it for 9 weeks. These other shows, we get to talk about them for longer. But not only that, but because I have to wait a week for the next episode, whenever the episode comes up and it's like snowing now, you know, you've let time pass. It's not jarring because, like, yeah, it's been a week since I've been wanting to watch this next episode for a week. So it seems like it took forever to get here. And then when it gets here, oh, of course it's snowing. Not that big of a deal, right? Or when the seasons change. That's another reason why I liked it and stuff, the way they do things that way. But no, I mean, besides, like, maybe there needs to be more Infected involved, and I sort of agree with that, but it doesn't do anything to, like, to
doesn't
me,
hurt
not
the story,
just,
right?
Yeah, it doesn't take away points to me. I know some people, maybe it takes away a point or two, But to me, it's not enough for me to take away points for it and stuff like that.
Yep. No, I agree. I think that, you know, the show is not about the zombies, as you said, or the cordyceps or what the clickers, whatever you want to call them. The show is ultimately, and the game as well, about Joel and Ellie. It's their story. It's their journey and their progression as characters and their relationship with each other. You know, the father-daughter kind of bond that they eventually end up forming. So I agree. I don't think, I mean, yeah, maybe a couple more zombies here and there would be kind of cool, but you don't need it. It's not like, I'm like all angry because there weren't more infected, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree, but it's like, even right then, like these things work off of sound. This is what I don't get sometimes is the criticisms that people have for one thing, because for whatever reason, they fell in love with it. And then they just stay and they're staunch defenders of it and stuff. But it's like things happen in the game that ain't super cool. Just right then, we just saw that scene where these clickers who supposedly work off a sound, they can hear almost everything in the world. Like you have to be super quiet. He jumps off the top of a bus and you're telling me that clicker didn't hear him?
Right.
Well, there's things in the game that doesn't make sense as well, people.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, right?
How but, can like, you see people through the walls? Like, because you can hear them walking
you
and
still
they're
love
way
it,
over there through the
but
walls.
But you still love it, right? You still love the game. You still love playing the game. You still love the story in the game with its flaws as well because it has flaws. Nothing's out there is ever going to be really perfect or whatever, right? So like this game has its flaws, but you loved it. And because you love the game, right? If you're a big game fan and you love the game first, you were going into this thinking, oh man, this probably ain't going to be good. They're not going to do the game
they're
justice.
Gonna
so you're
stuff.
Trying to,
they're going to make it worse. Like it's
they're trying to nitpick the crap out of it, like you said. And then like there were some people that dropped off after episode 3 with the Bill and Frank story. Because you had a gay love story or whatever, and I feel bad for those folks, man. Because if they stopped watching it, then they missed a great season of television. I mean, you could take episode 3 out of the bag if you wanted to do it on rewatches if you have some kind of problem. But like, for you not to continue the season because you're so against people being gay, like I just feel sorry for you.
You're missing out,
like
man.
Stupid. Yeah. You missed out. Like that's on you, man.
Yeah.
That's on you for not growing as a person or whatever. Because even if you're Christian, even if you follow the religious beliefs to where maybe you think that's a sin or whatnot, like Jesus didn't turn everybody away. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you want to use
Jesus,
like biblical text,
I don't think Jesus ever had a problem with people being gay.
Exactly, 100%. That's what I'm saying, though. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, like, if you stop watching,
the idea was love everybody. That was
you
the,
got
that
pissed
was
off because this show was talking about like you know had this gay marriage or whatever in it. Like, you know what, dude? Like, you're not even following your religion. You're not even following it the way it's supposed to be followed.
Those,
so shut your mouth. Stop being the stuff. You know, stop trying to make reasons and excuses for you not to do this or not to do that. Just because you see a gay love scene's not going to make you gay, like, right? Like, that's not going to change your whole life. And if it is, and if it does, then you should do something else. But like I said, I saw
maybe go to therapy or something,
Yeah, I saw people that stopped watching the series after episode 3, and I feel sorry for them, man, because they can't grow as a person and be able to enjoy a great season.
God, look at that thing.
Like, just because they have some, like, things against, like, certain deals or whatever. And it's just, feel sorry for them is all I can say.
I agree. And kind of along those same lines what you were talking about, people who can't really fully enjoy the show because they're so attached to the game. You know, similarly to these book readers that can't enjoy, like, a Harry Potter or Game of Thrones because, they change a couple little things here from the book. Like, one reviewer in particular, somebody that I've been watching his channel for many, many years, and he's got a massive following. He's got like 2 million subscribers almost on there, is Jeremy Johns, right? You know, you guys probably know Jeremy Johns. He's one of these that's very, very hypercritical on the show because it's not exactly like the game. And he's like, the game did it better here. The game did it better over here. And they're never going to top the game. And it's like, dude, like, you can't just enjoy the show for being a show, being a, like a great television show with this great writing. Like, you have to keep comparing it to the game, you know, and just because they did a little thing here and Ellie did this thing over here and Joel made this decision instead of that decision. Like, dude, I kind of agree with you. Like, I feel kind of bad that somebody like Jeremy Johns can't really enjoy this to its
My thing is, like, even that part of the game right there we just watched, she just threw a big-ass crate off a fucking bus.
Yeah.
And these things that only basically live off of hearing things because they can't see anymore doesn't hear that and attack his ass immediately or come after him. Like, right. That's my thing. It's like, this game that you think is so perfect isn't right. truly perfect.
Right.
Right? Like, it's the same way with Star Wars fans with the original trilogy, like I brought up earlier. Like, they think that's perfect. But
oh, it's never going to be good as Empire Strikes Back.
There's goofy jokes that happens in the series, in the old series. There's yeah. things where Luke Skywalker kicks a dude and his foot's not even 15 feet close to even kicking the guy in the face.
There's also Luke Skywalker making out with his sister.
Exactly. There's like things that happened even then that technically were flaws or technically was something bad. But you overlooked those and fell in love with it. And now, like, by God, nobody better say nothing bad about it. Like, yeah. I love the game, but I also love this show. And it could be for different reasons in different ways. They don't need to be exactly the same. I think to me, being a video game player and knowing the story already, the Bill and Frank stuff, I didn't ever play the DLC. Like, for instance, I never got that, so I never, like, played that or whatever. That was new to me. The Bill and Frank story was new to me, right? It gave you like a little bit of depth and stuff. Right.
And don't you want that as a viewer?
No, Justin, but I want to see something new, like as well. Yeah, I don't want to see like the same exact little thing. My point was this adaption, and the reason why I give them so much praise is the thing they adapted exactly to the T, what they needed to adapt exactly to the T. Then they adapt or they made some changes that to me just made the story overall better and works good, right? Like, and that's the thing, is like these people bringing in their baggage. You can't bring in your baggage. And why can't you say that? All right, so obviously someone like Jeremy Johns or whoever, right? They think the game's 10 out of 10.
Right.
Who cares if the show's 8 out of 10?
Or 9 out of 10.
That's still great. Yeah. Yeah, that's still great. Like, okay, like you love this game first. You're probably going to stick with the fact that you think the game's better. If you love the game that much, nothing's going to reach that level. Nothing, right? Right. I have a feeling if they would have did it straight 100%, like exactly like the game, exactly everything shot for shot, exactly like the game, all the dialogues exactly the same at all moments and all times, there will still be people that would say it's not as good as the game. Like, yeah. Even if they did it that way,
I agree.
There would still be people that did it, you know, that would say it's not as good as the game. And that's I just don't understand why people can't take a step back and be able to put those two things in a separate place and just enjoy it. Like, I'm sorry, but this is like, man, I feel like the people that got
like, you want 8 minutes of her having to hop over the fence and open up the door. Like, what do you people want?
The show
would be like, it would be like 100 hours long, you know,
man, to be the people that never played the game and got to watch the television series this first season.
That's what I'm saying,
bro. How much do you think they love this? Like, and they don't have the baggage. Oh my God. Like, there's people that's probably head over heels even more than, say, me. I knew it was going to go on. There wasn't anything truly surprising in this show, like, because I already knew the story, and because they kept faithful to it, that's why I love it so much. But it wasn't me seeing the story for the first time with fresh eyes exactly. And man, I'm almost jealous of the people that got to watch the show without having the baggage of the game, without playing the game. And this show even makes me want to go play the game. Like, I looked at Steam today. Yes. You can buy this to put on the computer, because I was thinking about playing on our Twitch channel, and I'm like, maybe I'll.
Yeah, they have it for PC now. $60. I think, yeah.
They have it for Steam. You can buy it on Steam and play it from your computer easily and stuff like that, and be able to stream it. But it's like, oh, that game's $60, man. I'm a single dad. I might not need to buy that.
I have a PC gaming system here that I'm streaming on right now, so I might have to. I don't even have Steam on this thing. I really should. Get that going, because again, it is a gaming laptop. So but yeah, man, it's like there's certain things about the show that, like, I mean, we've talked about this to death at this point, but like, that kind of enhance the whole experience. And I from my personal background, as somebody that Didn't really play the game when it came out. Heard about all the hype and everything, but didn't totally know. I read a few big spoilers, you know, here and there, or watched somebody like this play a watch long, but I didn't really fully start to explore this world until the show. So a lot of it, I did have a pretty fresh take on. I mean, like, I watched this, I watched like a good chunk of this playthrough, but or other people on Twitch playing it here and there or whatever. And same thing for part two. Like, I know some pretty big, you know, moments that happen on that, but it's not like I have a history with this. Like, I don't have like a decade of playing this game and being really super into it. So I'm like, I'm kind of getting into all of it all at once, like going in and watching the show. So, but what's great is like, I now have between, you know, we're at in March of 2023, they've said that the production on season two is probably not even going to start until at least late 2024 or even early 2025. So that gives like what, 3 years to dive into it even more and maybe like play some of part two. And
to be honest with you, it makes sense. And it will feel, even though, because like there is a decent time jump between, see, like he did all that shit right there just to get a paddle so he could take her across the water. But like,
you really want to have that
in the show, guys? You really want to? That's my point, like some of those points. But like, the biggest thing is, it will make a lot of sense if it does take a few years for them to come out with The Last of Us Season 2, because the second game does have a decent amount of, like, she's still a kid here. She's pretty much an adult in the second game. Actually, she is a young adult. I don't know how many years exactly they skip, but there's a decent amount of time that passes. Joel's older. She's older.
She's 14. I think it's 5 years because she's supposed to be 14 here, and then she's 19 when we get to part two. In part two, unless, because there's another time jump that happens in part two, right? Like there's a thing that happens and then it jumps forward even a little bit more, right? So I'm thinking that like, and it does make all the sense in the world in terms of like the actors as well, because like Bella Ramsey was, I believe, 17 when they started filming this season, and she's 19 now. So by the time they start production on season two, she'll be like in her early 20s. And she's playing a character that's like now almost exactly the age, right? Whereas before she's a 17-year-old playing a 14-year-old. Now she'll be like a 21, 22-year-old playing a 19-year-old, and it'll be perfect. And like that was one of the things that the producers and the writers pushed back on with some of these people on the internet being like, it's not going to make any sense. Like the actress isn't going to really look that much different. Like, I'm pretty sure she is. Like a few years, she's still growing, I think. Like she's going to look almost exactly how old she's supposed to by the time we get to.
But they always say they also can do things to age you up too.
Yeah,
like even if she still looks super young, they can also do things that's like age them up, just like they can age people down. Like
it's called makeup, Justin.
Yeah, makeup and like even CG stuff, like the way they de-age, like you know, Tony Stark or some of those characters.
We got Indiana Jones from Raiders of the Lost Ark era in the new Indiana Jones movie. So yeah, like there's a lot they can do, but I don't even think they're really going to need to do much. If 2020, early 2025, they start filming Bella Ramsey, like I think she's going to be perfect for how she's supposed to look. Like even now, you know, you watch. I think you probably skip forward to once we get to the Fireflies. Like this is because probably won't go too much longer on this review. But yeah, this is the scene where they get the backstory, and that's the other thing too. Like we don't see the birth of Ellie in the game, and like that was an awesome scene on the show where you had Ashley Johnson coming in, the actress that actually voiced Ellie in the game, and she looks like very much like she
could be. I want to give mother. Props and kudos.
Like, I love that stuff.
I want to give props and kudos. The guy who voiced Tommy, he's in the show. He's that Kathleen Girl's like right hand man earlier in the show, like henchman or whatever, when they were in that one town. This lady right here, that's the actual actress and voice actor, played her the entire show this season. Ashley, like you said, the voice of Ellie Ashley was Johnson. The mother of Ellie, which is super cool. She talked about that on the podcast, the HBO Max podcast. She actually talks about that. That's super cool. The guy who voiced Joel was the guy who got cut in the neck in
James,
the episode before this
the
one
cannibal.
Right here.
Yep.
And like the, but also the girl who, or the woman who voiced Abby, the character from the second game that you play with a little bit, is also one of the nurses in the background in the hospital scene. So they went and got like a lot of these voice actors that did a decent amount of stuff with the games to like come in and actually either play their roles or play a different role, gave them all jobs, which is like super awesome, man.
Yeah,
like a lot
cool.
of play things don't do that. Like, I don't think they're getting enough credit or a pat on the back for like going and getting these people and giving them the opportunity to be on a show like this and stuff like that. A lot of times the voice actors are ignored.
Shot for shot.
Yeah, a lot of times the voice actors are ignored. Yeah, he does. He shoots that dude right in the dick. He shot
dude,
that one
about,
guy in the dick in the show. He didn't do it exactly like that. But.
Right. How about just the ruthlessness of Joel at this point? Like,
mm-hmm.
guys that even just give up, they just like, I surrender. He doesn't give a shit. Just blasts him right in the head. Like, no survivor. Leave no survivors. Like, he leaves the two doctors alive, but they're like, they aren't really doing anything. They're not going to, like, come after him or anything.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. The music and everything else that they do in the show that this
scene
right here is done with.
Oh, so good.
The way they almost make it, like, a little more quiet or muffled. All this stuff's going on and happening, like, straight up 100% is better than the game. This scene, Joel, like, snapping, doing all that, it's better than the game. In the game, you're doing all this sneaking around bullshit
you do all
and everything
stuff that
else,
you've
right?
done for the last, like, 12 hours of gameplay. You know, it's just...
Exactly.
The controls, like...
In the show, it makes a difference because Joel wasn't so hardcore. Like, this moment of the game, like, Joel doing what he's doing now, maybe he amped it up, like, one notch or maybe two notches, but he was always amped up, right?
Right.
He was always that kind of person. So, like, this ain't that big of a thing. When you see my man Pedro Pascal flip the switch the last episode when he was trying to go save Ellie, and then in this episode whenever he wakes up and does that, it's more impactful because he wasn't as amped up all season long. Like, it was a slow progression, or it only happens in a certain times when he thinks someone he loves in danger. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's straight up, like, a big deal, right? Because – I'm going to tell you, we'll go. Well, I'll save this towards the end, but when we're actually done with the review, because and we'll put a spoiler up because it's going to have a spoiler.
Oh, we're going to talk part two spoilers
for like the second game.
Okay,
I'm going to talk about a certain section that is big spoiler.
Yeah.
So we'll do whatever. But like,
we'll put a
here's
tag
the thing.
On that at the end. Yeah,
this was done better. You're sneaking around, finding stuff. Like, bro, in the show, he goes ape shit. He doesn't try to hide. He doesn't try to sneak.
None
he's
of the sneaking around,
that are,
setting traps.
He's
like,
shooting
he's
motherfuckers that are throwing their
it.
Hands up. He's shooting a guy that's like crawling away that's already been shot. You know, when he gets into the room, and I think you can do it like this in the video game, but when he gets into the room with the hospital or whatever, like in the actual room where they're trying to do the surgery, bro, he just murders that doctor. He murders that doctor. And here goes the thing.
You know what I love
and
about
a lot
that
of people
too?
Like,
is that poor doctor? He picks up the little tiny knife. And it's like we were talking about Indiana Jones earlier, right? Like one of my favorite scenes of all time in cinema is when that guy's twirling the sword around and Indy just shoots him. And this is kind of almost like reminded me of that a little bit because it's this doctor and he's like, I'm not gonna let you do. He comes in for Ellie. I'm not gonna let you do that. And he picks up the little knife, and Joel's just like, nah, shoots.
That doctor. But what I'm going to say is this, though. What I'm going to say is this. It's not stupid. I don't consider
what
he does is stupid.
It's
that
great.
Doctor stands on his convictions. He thinks
did all
that
he
this time
do.
He's going to – he thinks that this time that he's literally going to be able to save the human race. He
right.
thinks he's got the perfect basically test subject or whatever to be able to get this done. And the thing standing between him and is this guy, this crazy maniac that loves this kid, is the only thing in between you and saving the entire world, possibly. I don't know, man. You grab whatever you can grab and do what you can do. Like,
right.
that. To me, that doctor standing on his convictions that he can get this done and
right.
he can't let nothing stop it. Nothing. He
well,
can't
I have
let
a gun pointed
in
my head. Let's see what I got here. I got a table full of little knives. All right.
Hey, bro, if he could have got to him with that knife, he could have took his ass out. But that's what I'm saying, though. That's what makes me a lot of people.
He was a good shot.
We could talk about this. Like, the end of the game has a couple of questions. One is question is, like, do they think they would even be able to do the actual, like, surgery and find a cure or whatever? Well, the creator of the series says in his head that he knew that, like, if this happened, and this is the reason why he wrote the story and the second game like he wrote it, that he knew if they could do the operation or whatever, that they were going to find a cure. That's 100% in his mind. That when he wrote the story, that's what he was thinking. Like, the doctor would be able to do this, right? So, because a lot of people say, well, they might not even have been able to do it. But the creator says they would have been able to do it. Like, if he would have wrote the story like a different way and whatever, they would have been able to get the cure. In his head, that's why he wrote the story the way he wrote it and everything else. So, like, so there's that. But you have a chance to, like, save the world here. Ellie tells him before they ever get to the hospital, like, basically what she wants to do. There's a lot of people out there like, why can't you just ask her? Why'd you put her under? Why'd you go directly in there and start trying to do the surgery immediately and all this stuff? You don't have to do that. Are you that dumb, people, like, that you didn't hear and listen to Ellie before they ever even got to the hospital, where she says that, like, she wants her life to mean something and everything else? Yeah. Like, she's already made the choice.
We've come this far. That we choice, have to do all it takes, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it like, takes. She's already made the choice in her head. We don't have to hear it. And Joel heard that, right? And everything else. So, like, with that being said, there's no big deal here. There's, like, a thing, like, going on. Like, I don't know. I don't understand. People's like, oh, man, like, we wouldn't have done this or we wouldn't have done that. And everything else, but I don't think that's necessarily true. And
it's the great debate, right? It's like, did Joel make the right decision? People have been talking about this for the last
Let's talk about that now. Yeah, let's talk about that now. What do you think? Did Joel make the right decision?
Man, I see. I'm kind of, I always try to take sort of the middle ground on these things, but I don't know. This one's kind of interesting because it's like, I do feel like maybe Joel's decision-making in that moment was him putting his own need for having a daughter or saving a what has become sort of his child in Ellie over everything else, right? So he doesn't matter any of the other circumstances, whether it means a cure for humanity or not. His personal reasons are, I cannot let my daughter die again. And that's sort of the crux of this whole story, right? It's like, it's we started out with Sarah. Sarah gets shot down. He couldn't save her. So he has to do everything that he possibly can now at this point to protect Ellie. And so on one side, there's kind of the morality of that. But on the other side, it's like, yes, but Ellie wanted to save humanity. Like, again, wouldn't you rather put your own children's decision first before anything else? Like, Justin, you're a father, right? If you had to sacrifice your son, this is really, we're getting really intense here, but like, if your son wanted to save humanity, if your son was the key to everybody else's survival, for the continuation of the human race, would you be willing to let him make that decision? Or would you, as a father, put your need to save your own child before the greater good of everybody else, right? That's the conundrum.
This is, this is an easy answer. Like, I'm a parent. Like, guess what? I do exactly right. What Joel's doing here. Or at least right. Try to, you know, maybe I'm not as good with a knife or a gun or whatever that he is at the time. So maybe I get my ass shot down and killed. But I try to do what Joel's doing right now.
Yes.
Joel is doing what I would do. But at the same time, like, I'm not dumb and think that everything's 100% black or white. This is a gray area. I do understand that afterwards, after I do what I'm doing right now, after I do what Joel's doing, that I'm wrong. I'm letting my own personal feelings, I'm letting the fact of my love for my son block out the fact that I am possibly dooming humanity forever. And not only that, but everybody that I'm killing, right? You can say whatever you want to about the Fireflies, if they're right or they're wrong, But some people are just part of the cause just so they can survive. You know, people have to find a way to survive in this apocalyptic times. So maybe your way to survive was to join the Fireflies because it kept you safer, you know, than you being out on your own and possibly dying because you can't eat or can't starve. It's always better to be in a group in this situation, have people rallied around you so that you can band together and like I said, survive and be able to just keep going. So there's a lot of people that Joel kills in this section right here that are fathers, that are daughter or, you know, whatever, sons, whatever it is, right? They're all, they possibly have family out there and stuff like that, or that people that love and care for them as much as he does Ellie. Because Ellie's not his daughter. He's putting her in place of his daughter. And like I said, I understand because I would do what Joel's doing. But I'm not dumb enough or asinine enough to be sitting here thinking that to myself that like, oh, I'm doing the right thing. I might even possibly as I'm doing it, know I'm doing the right thing. I mean, know I'm doing the wrong thing. This is wrong. What he's doing is wrong. Like he shoots a doctor in the face that's just trying to save humanity. The dude's really trying to save the world. He's not killing Ellie because he wants to. Even in the game.
That's probably like one of the last doctors that we have in humanity. Yeah.
Even in the game, Marlene, you hear her on some of these tapes and voice recorders, like where she's struggling with it herself. And there's nobody doing this because they want to. They're not killing Ellie because it gives them satisfaction or because of any of those type of reasons. They're only doing it for the fact that they're trying to save the world. They're trying to save humanity, right? Because there's this chance that humanity can't survive without something like this. They're trying to do it and they're willing to make that tough decision. Now, yeah, maybe they don't have the connection that Joel has with Ellie, right? This is a total thing. See, like you could choose to shoot him right there. You can
it's the same thing right here. Bam.
But yes.
Yeah.
But like there it is. It's one of those things to where what he's doing right now is wrong. I understand it and I'd make the same choice, but it's wrong. You can't tell me like why it's not wrong. If you're doing that, man, you simping for Joel. I'm sorry, but Joel isn't a good dude almost the entire time. He leaves people stranded out on the road the very first part of the game and in the very first episode. He makes selfish-ass decisions. Selfish people aren't good people. Now, they may survive in the apocalypse because they're selfish and they don't make stupid decisions because they're selfish, but that is a bad person. You're a bad person. So anybody that tries to come out and says and argues that the fact that Joel's good, that Joel, he's doing the right thing and there's nothing wrong with what he's doing and he's not the bad guy. No, Joel is a bad guy. But sometimes, episodes, sometimes you need the bad guy on your side. Sometimes you need the selfish person on your side because sometimes that gets you out of trouble, right? If you stop and try to pick up somebody during the apocalypse or something, when the zombie apocalypse is happening and you try to pick up everybody on the side of the road, one of them is going to be a mistake that gets everybody around you that you love killed because you're the good person. Yep. To be able to survive in a thing like this, unless you're super lucky like Bill was, right, to be in that situation that he was and everything else, unless you're in that super lucky position or just happen to fall luckily into the arms of a group that could keep you safe or whatever and everything else, you're dead. You're gone. You're not here anymore. Yeah. So there has to be people like Joel in this world. And I think Joel does, in a weird way, because I'm calling him a bad guy, he does have a good heart. That heart is what ultimately, like, you know, makes him the person that he is, but it's in a weird way because he has no sympathy but for those he loves personally. Okay? Like, he loves her without no regrets, no regards. And like I said, he's using her because earlier in the episode, he makes that line to where time doesn't heal anything. He's talking about her when he says that. It's her that healed him. It's her that made him different. And he wasn't about to lose that, but it's all for selfish reasons. He's a selfish prick, but we love him because we played him in a game. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We love him because
so much time with him. Yeah.
We love him because we love him because we played him in a game and there's these couple of moments where he sees you see past his rugged exterior and everything else and he's a man's man and he's all this stuff and you're like, yeah, and you're rooting for him. But that don't mean that he's a good person. Don't mean it. He's not a good person. So let's get off of that. Like, let's stop trying to defend what he did. What he did was wrong. What he did was terrible. It was nasty to the hardest of core of hardcore, like it was bad. There's no explanation that makes this even any better. He literally murdered like 30 people.
Yeah.
30 people.
At least.
Like murdering that
lady, Marlene. It's just guns are down. Yeah, man.
And like I said, some people try to argue like, well, man, they were forcing Ellie to do it. They didn't ask her and all this stuff. It's like, bro, she's already let you know in the story what she wanted. She already let you know in the story what she wanted. Like, he already knows. That's what makes it even worse. You could have a defense for him if she never let anything be known of what her feelings were. You know, no, she didn't say it word for word verbatim. She didn't say, or, hey, even if it's going to kill me, do the thing. But she pretty much said everything besides that and hinted at everything besides that. He knew what she wanted. That's why he hesitates whenever Marlene right here says, you know, like, you know what she would want to do. Like, she would want this to get done. She would make the right choice. He hesitates because he knows it.
Yeah.
Because he knows that's the
truth. And on top of all that, Justin, he lies to her, you know? And obviously part of that is because he doesn't want her to freak out. Because exactly, like, this is what she wanted. And he didn't let that happen, you know? So lying to her on top of all that, to me, is kind of the worst part. And it's like, because their relationship right now is they have this bond. As my internet's breaking up, lovely.
I don't think mine's doing the greatest either. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're almost at the end anyway. But
I'm gonna go ahead and stop this. I'm gonna stop sharing because I think it's messing up.
Yeah, we're kind of at the end, so that's fine. But yeah, I mean, and I think that made it a little bit better. But yeah, I think that's the worst part of all this for me. It's like he's lying to her, right? And at this point in their relationship, I think, yeah, she might be kind of pissed off at first and freak out, but ultimately she'll maybe understand kind of part of why he did that. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's one that will definitely simmer for a bit. But I don't know, man. Like, they're going to explore that a bit more in part two, I'm sure. And it's like, Joel, I think, is going to have a little karma headed in his direction. That's all I'll say before we get into the spoilery kind of stuff that we were teasing earlier in the show. But yeah, no, that's like kind of my final thoughts on the episode and the season so far. But what other discussions did you have, Justin, about potentially where we're going to go in the next season if they follow part two?
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, just to nip this in the bud for this season and everything. Great season. Like I said, 9 out of 10. Pretty much season for me. Great. I can't wait for season two. Now, thinking with that said, game two is not as beloved as game one. There's a lot of people that love it.
I'll put this
a lot of people
that sag up here now.
And I actually very divisive. I'd already made one. I already made like a straightforward right here. If you don't know anything,
there we go.
Game two of The Last of Us. Spoilers ahead. Get the hell out of here. All right, this is go your opportunity and chance to get out of here.
Yes.
No. This will be the end of the video. We're going to end on this note right here. So, like, if you don't want to have spoilers, thank you guys for joining us and everything else. Love that you were here and everything. Hit that subscribe button like Dagan said earlier and all that. And thank you for all the support for the Patreons and everything else that are our Patreons already. And if you want to become a Patreon, go over there and do it, man. And you can join these group of great people and stuff like that and their support for us. And thank you. But with that being said, we're going to talk about game two right now. Just a small part of it.
Yes.
All right. So my son loved the first game so much. So he probably played it 16 to 20 times, played it all the way through, beat the shit out of it.
Wow. Well.
The second game, he was super excited for. He got it, man. He played it. I could see the anguish in his voice or face and then hear it in his voice. He played it a second time, still didn't like it. Finally, me and him sat down and we talked about it. I didn't play the second game. I know the story and everything else because I didn't have the time to play the game and my son plays the PlayStation all the time, so I don't have the opportunity to play as much as I did back in the day when the first game came out. So I just went ahead and did what you did, basically, like for The Last of Us Part One. in most cases and watch like the story, because I wanted to know like how the story progressed. Now, there are some things with the game that I think they should do in a different order and everything else. Like the way they handle things in the game is a little jumpy a little bit at times. Maybe like a little, the pacing and stuff like that's not super great in the game. The way they get you to do things in certain orders and stuff like that can mess with you a little bit. And I think the story could be told the exact same way, but in a better way, if you just change some things in the orders of stuff that happens and stuff like that. Like when you get introduced to certain people, maybe at different times and all this stuff. But when me and my son, we had a discussion about the second game. And I was telling him like, look, man, in the first game, the reason why you got suckered in, or not suckered in, because you got sucked in, was because of what happened to Sarah. Very, very beginning of the game, you're playing the game. You even play as Sarah for a little bit. Sarah gets taken out of the game, gets taken from you. And now you're like hook, line, and sinker. You're done. You have to play. You have to find out what the hell is this all about. They already killed, you know, a main character that you thought, right, that you thought was going to be in the game or whatnot. So it got you, right? So in the second game, I think that is why they did what they did as early as they did. And that is, like I'm telling you, a rewarning. If you're still here, get the hell out of here if you don't know The Last of Us 2, the game.
If you don't want to know what happens in season 2.
But
yes,
pretty close to the beginning of the second game, they take Joel. Joel dies.
Probably the end of the second now, episode, I would guess. Season 2, episode 2. Or maybe 3 if they stretch it out a little bit more. But very early on, first 3 episodes for sure, probably.
No, I don't think they're actually going to do it that way.
Really?
Like, okay. I think they're actually going to reorder things, and we're going to be able to live with some characters a little bit longer. I think they even said that the second we're not going to get just a season 2. I think we're definitely going to get a season 3. It may even go further than that if Home Dude can come up with more story, like how much further he wants to go with some of the characters and stuff. But anyway, there's 2 more seasons on the docket is what I hear. So they're going to take 2 seasons to do game 2. Okay. So that ain't definitely going to happen that soon. But in the game, they do it. But that's because the formula for the first game worked that way. You got in there and they shocked you. In the first game, they took his daughter. In the second game, they took him. All right. Mm-hmm. And now you play as his impromptu daughter for most of the game. And then you have another character that comes in and plays that. I told my son, for one, I get what he's saying to a certain point, but I told my son, I said, man, do you hate this game because the game ain't good? Or do you hate this game because they killed one of your favorite characters of all time?
There's no Joel. Yeah.
Because Joel gets killed. And then they make you play the character that kills Joel. Right. Okay? Like, is that why you don't like the game? And he tries to get away from that. He tries to... you know, say, no, that's not why I'm being that way. Joel, like, he kept making excuses. Well, I think Joel could die, but, like, not just that way. And then and I'm like, son, it almost has to happen that way. All right? Like I said, maybe they could reorder it to where this didn't happen until later on in the game so that you play as Joel maybe a little bit longer, stuff like that or whatever. But they were going for the shock value. They had balls, man. They had balls. They went for it full swing. That's one thing I give with The Last of Us Part 2. Is, yeah, there's people that don't like it or whatever, but you know how many balls that takes to, like, kill your main character that quick and then to get you to play as the character that kills the main character that you love, that is universally loved? Like, that takes balls. That's a big, huge, giant nutsack that these people had over there to be able to do that. I give them props for it, right?
Yeah, because, like, the thing. There's going to be people that are going to hate it, as you said, and that was the case, but there's also going to be people that are gonna, like you, that are like, it's awesome that they had the balls to do that.
Yeah, but like, here goes the thing. And the discussion that me and my son, we ended like this. And it goes along the lines of the first season, the first game, too, as well. I said, son, if you was on that operating table, I'm Joel. I do what Joel does. I don't hesitate. I would do anything in my power that I have to save you. Okay, I would do it all. I'd kill every one of them the same way, maybe even more hardcore to a certain point. That's how much I love my son. And I told him, that's how much I love you, that I would do exactly what Joel did in the first game. I said, but if that shoe was on the other foot and you were the doctor and I was Abby, You better make damn sure I would cross the country, nations, swim across the Atlantic Ocean to hunt whoever did that down, in this case, Joel.
Yep.
And I would kill his ass in the most horrible way possible. Because I love you. So when you have this hate in your heart for that Abby character, when you have this hate in your heart for that Abby character, right? That you hate because, yeah, she takes out your favorite
your beloved
character in a video game of all time, beloved character. When you have that hate in your heart, really ask yourself, do you not do what she does? I would do everything even worse than what she did to the person that killed my son if he was the doctor and I was Abby. Right? Obviously, there's a different dynamic because it's a daughter and an older doctor, but like, either way, if my son were to get killed by Joel, right? Let's just say one of the guys that was on that team was a teenager. My son's 15 now, so let's say this. And Joel's going through that hospital, and my son's a 19-year-old, part of the Fireflies, and gets killed by Joel in that instance. I'm hunting that motherfucker down, and I'm killing him in the worst possible way that I possibly could think of without blinking my eyes. And like I said, I'd go everywhere, anywhere I needed to go to do it. So when you have that hate in your heart for Abby, realize that hopefully you love your son, or in her case, father, enough to want to do that.
You just hit it on the head, Justin. Because at the end of the day, with all this hate and murder and suffering, it all comes down to love, really. Like, that's the like the main theme of this show, of this story, the game, is love.
Love makes you do great things, and it makes you do horrible things.
Yep.
Love is great most of the time, but it also could be the most gut-wrenching, painful thing that you'll ever endure. If you could go through this life, and you can't, it's like almost like a curse sent to humans to like love someone.
It's our natural instinct. It.
Even if you're the most hateful person of all time, maybe if you only love your mom, maybe if it's only you love your kid, or just like there's one best friend that you only love, like because you're a despicable human being. You're the old man sitting out there yelling at kids, get off your lawn. Bullshit, right?
Oh, like, wait, that's not you, Justin?
Even though you're all of that and you're doing all that, like you're innately meant to love. One of the most biggest fears in this life is to die alone. Like, and that's that is Ellie's fear, like whenever they talk about fears in the show and in the game. But that's almost like, everyone's fear.
Everybody's been taken away from me and or left me, you know?
But that's almost everybody's fear in today's life, and we don't even live in that kind of world where it's easily happening to people all across the country dying alone in an apocalyptic setting. We don't have that here, right? So that's the reason why one of the biggest fears is dying alone, because we just have this innate thing in our hearts to, like, love people, right? To, like, try to cherish people. But with that, it's the same reason why.
Oh, geez.
And one of my other favorite genres, Star Wars.
You always got to find some way to get the lightsaber into this, every one of these videos.
Damn right.
Damn it.
But that's one of the reasons why in the Star Wars lore, the Jedis aren't supposed to love. Because what's the opposite of love? Hate.
Hatred.
And you got anger, which leads to the dark side. Joel,
fear leads to anger. Because anger leads to hate. Hate leads to
Joel didn't want to love no other person. And then he slowly but surely, you know, it'd be cool to possibly one day get that story a little bit. But he slowly but surely let Tess in. I think he truly loved Tess. He had let Tess in over, but that was 20 years of time that passed. And finally that happened, right? Like, and everything else. And with Ellie, he was able, he didn't want to. He was afraid of it more than anything in his life. But eventually he fell in love, you know, loved
Ellie.
Found
a daughter.
He grew to love Ellie, found another daughter, and he let her in. And then he was about to lose that again, and he couldn't do it, right? He couldn't let that happen because that would destroy him. If Ellie dies in that moment, if he doesn't do anything and he walks away, he already talked about putting the gun to his head and he flinched and he didn't kill himself, but he tried to kill himself, he would have killed himself. It would have been the end of Joel, regardless. In this outcome, no matter what outcome you go with, Joel dies. Either from him taking his own life because he can't live with himself anymore, because he had this opportunity and chance and he can't deal with the pain anymore, or what happens, happens. You kill so many people, eventually you have to pay the consequences.
It's going to catch up to you. Yeah, you karma. Yeah,
pay the piper, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff right there is going to happen. But it's so many, like, stories, love songs, movies, all these things were written, made, created. Castles, you know, like some guy loved a woman so much he built a castle back in the day. All this stuff, like, no matter what it was, paintings, it doesn't matter, art, everything.
Shakespeare.
Some of the best stuff you will ever know is all done. Yes, it's all done and written out of love or because of love or whatever, because somebody loves somebody. This story was made or whatever was made.
Yeah.
But there's also been a lot of people die because of the love they had for something.
Mm-hmm.
Their love for religion, their love for their country, the love for their fellow man, the love for their, the people that their family, the, you know, revenge all the time, right? Like, oh, you did this to my family, I'm taking you out. Oh, you slept on my wife, I'm going to take you out. Like all this stuff right there. So many horrible things happens because of love as well. You can't have one without the other. And that the yin and the yang of this whole thing. And that's what makes this story. And even the story of part two, even though I agree, it could have been put together better. Could have been paced better. Could have been told in just a different order. I think the story of part two is great, but it would have been better if it would have been put in like a more ordered form and put together in a different way and paced a little better. I think actually it would have been loved a little more. I think more and more people would have liked it and stuff, even though people now, even with the game being the way it is, have coming around to loving it and loving it. My son loves the second game now.
Yeah.
He said, Dad, you're right. I believe you would do that for me. And because of that, because I asked him straight up, I said, what if I was the doctor and what if you were Abby? And I got killed by Joel and you found out who it was. What would you do? And he said, Dad, I'm going to go play the game again. And when he played it with that outlook,
with a different perspective,
when that different perspective, he came back and now he really likes the game.
Came around.
He still hates that Joel dies because he loves Joel.
Yeah.
No matter what, he still hates that Joel dies. He still hates that part. He still hates it, but he doesn't hate the game because of it. He hates the fact that Joel had to die.
Yeah.
But
for the story to progress to what makes sense for that character. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, one final thought I'll have here is that, you know, you were kind of worried that they weren't going to really stick with the landing towards the end, that they were maybe going to rush some things and they weren't going to deliver on it. But I think that they've proven to us all that they can. And so I would hope that headed into season two, they stick with what works. They don't try to mess around with it too much and actually stick to their guns and go with this very ballsy decision to kill off Joel. Because it's going to be, I think, equally as divisive as it was for the game players, for the TV audience, the people that didn't play the game, you know. But I think if you think about it enough, if you put it in perspective like you did, where you're talking about, you know, if you were in this situation, what would you do? I'm hoping that enough people aren't going to, I mean, it's the internet, so everybody's going to bitch about it, right? And people are get too attached to these characters. It's like you saw this with Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange or Luke Skywalker and Last Jedi or whatever it is, and they can't separate their own idea in their mind of what they want to have happen with the character to what the creative decision ultimately is, right? So I'm hoping that the people writing this show, and I have faith that they will, because I think that they have a brilliant creative team with Neil Druckmann and everybody involved, that stick with it, you know, and don't care what the internet is going to say about it, because at the end of the day, it's what makes sense for the story. So I'm really looking forward to it. I know we got a bit of a wait until we get season two, but I have all the faith in the world that it's going to deliver.
Yeah. And, you know, on our way out here, I'll just say this. Love is one of the greatest gifts as humanity that we'll ever have. Like, without love, does anything even really mean anything? When you go do something as simple as go see a movie, or say you go to go see a great spectacle, or, you know, just do anything in your life, everything that you do in your life, if you have love with it, makes it that much more sweeter, that much more better. When you have loved ones around you, when you're able to celebrate things, it's the best and biggest thing you'll ever be able to do in your entire life. And it feels good. It feels fantastic. It's just awesome. It's amazing.
Hell yeah.
Now, with that being said, it's also our biggest curse. Because when you fall flat on your face and there's no loved ones around, when you do something amazing and there's no loved one there with you, or you don't love anyone and there's no love with it, it's not as amazing, right? That's one of the biggest things in this world, and one of the craziest things about this life is that there's a line, and love covers both of them. It's both sides. It could be the most hated, the best thing you ever had and the worst thing you ever had. You know, when you love somebody and they're there next to you and they're able to hold you or give you a hug or give you a smile, bro, can't beat it. But that next year, that loved one's not there. Natural causes. You know, we all die sometimes and they pass away. That next holiday, that next birthday, it's going to be one of the worst days of your life, especially there at the beginning. And one of the biggest stories that this Last of Us tells you is that love is that fickle. Love can be the greatest thing or the worst of things. But it's so good that we have both. That we have Bill and Frank, that story of this worst thing ever, apocalypse. All these people out there almost dying. But then we get this great love story in the middle of it. Something so simple. Them enjoying all the simple things. Them not being, you know, really attacked by the rest of the world like other people are. Yes, eventually they do here and there and all that stuff, but they're able to survive this. And it's this beautiful story, love, everything there mixed in this super horrible world. And like I said before, like, it's just one of those things that's, it's just crazy, but it's wonderful at the same time that love is the way it is. When people have bad days or good days, right? Like, you have a bad day and it's the worst day ever and you hate this life and you don't want to be here anymore. You just want to forget this day ever happened. I tell you not to. Don't forget. Don't forget the hurt. Don't forget the pain. And don't forget that bad day. Because 2 weeks later, 2 months later, 2 years later, maybe even a decade later, you're going to have one of the greatest days of your entire life. And you're not going to know how to cherish it if you forget that bad day, that bad time, or that lost loved one. Never forget that stuff. Always keep that in the forefront of your mind so that when things are good and you're feeling great and things are happening at super good, you learn to cherish it and harness it and just keep it. And just love it even more. Without the good, there can't be the bad. And that's one of the greatest things about love, is it's good and it's bad. And that's the great thing about being human. Sometimes it sucks, but other times it's great and other times it's beautiful. And that'd be the last thing I have to say. That last part of that tirade right there.
Dude, but that was like, that being said, one of the greatest, like, most genuine, heartfelt things you've ever said here, Justin. I think we might have to clip that out and put it out as its own thing, because that was, I'm not gonna lie, man, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
But that's why The Last of Us is as great as it is, because it shows us both sides of the coin.
Makes Justin go on an 8-minute thing about how love is the most important thing on, you know.
Listen, man, it's just great because of the simple fact of that's why I did what I just did. That's why it's on the top of my mind, because I'm thinking about this show, I'm thinking about the game, and that's what's great. That's why people love this game. That's why they love this story. It's because it shows us that. And it's done so well. Like, one of the craziest things about this, there's a lot of bad things that happens in this show, but when you're watching it or even playing the game, you don't feel bad. A lot of shows or stuff, if they have things like this, you go away from it feeling bad. You feel disgusted. You feel
gross. Like Glenn, right. You know, the Negan murdering in Walking Dead. It's like, so too much.
Good. Right. This is so good and done so well that you don't feel that way. And that's what makes it special, man.
Yeah.
Like, but I think that's the main thing that it's trying to teach you is what love truly is. You don't wake up every day next to the person that you love, your wife or whatever, right? Girlfriend or somebody you're in a relationship with and think they're the greatest person ever of all time. They screwed up yesterday. They screwed up last week and it's still biting you in the ass. You know what I'm saying? It's grinding your gears. You're pissed off. Not every night that you lay down next to someone are they going to be your favorite person. But that doesn't mean you don't love them, right? Because that's what it is. Love isn't this emotion that just happens or whatever, right? It's not like love is it's different. It's a feeling. Anger is an emotion. Like some things, other things are things that happens to you. Love is like built over time. Love is earned. There's a totally different thing like that. And if you truly love something or somebody, you don't
grows and it grows and evolves like like its own living entity, you know.
But wow, we're getting really deep. Love someone, if you truly love someone, you also don't give up. So when you have that bad day or whatever, you're willing to stay with them to be there the next day, to be with them because you love them, and because nobody's perfect. But with that being said,
there you go.
We're out of here. The Last of Us. Teaches us about love first and foremost, and that's why it's such a great story. And with that being said, peace, everybody. And to all you guys that watch on the after it's been put out and stuff like that on the rewatch, thank you very much. And like I said earlier, please hit the subscribe button. Till next time, peace.